On an earlier evening, I said I would like to talk to you about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Let's start with them now. The first one is the mystery of God. Let me read you some verses from Colossians chapter 2 and read the first 10 verses. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. So he is talking to us here about the mystery of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. When you have Christ, you have the fullness of God, and you are complete in him. What a privilege it is to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. Paul here talks about his knowledge of the mystery of God. The better you know and understand God, the better you will understand his plans and purposes and his will for you and for your life. Of course, we could never fully understand God. In our present state, we're very limited. Job says, it's written in chapter 11 of Job, verses 7 to 9, can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. We could not fully explain God or fully understand him in this life. There will come a time when we will fully understand God. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12 it says, now we see through a glass darkly. Now we know in part, but then when we see God face to face in the resurrection, then we will know even as also we are known. We will one day fully understand God. But to us at this stage, God is a mystery. But he has revealed sufficient of himself, sufficient about himself, for us to follow him during this life. God is a unity, but is a complex unity, a plural unity, if you can understand that. It says, I want you to know the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Unless you understand the plurality in the Godhead, you do not understand God. Right from the very beginning, from the very first verse in Scripture, God starts revealing himself as a complex unity. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the very first verse in the Bible. And that word God is Elohim, which is plural. In the beginning, gods. And the word created is singular. In the beginning, gods created. That is why in verse 27 of Genesis 1, it says, let us make man in our own image. And the very basic statement of faith in the Jewish religion, found in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And again, that word for God is Elohim. It is plural. The Lord our gods is one. And that word for one, Ikad, means a composite unity. God is one, but he is revealed in Scripture as a triune God, three persons in one. This is seen in a way that is easy to understand in the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, and the occasion is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17 read like this. But Jesus answered and said to John the Baptist, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there you see God the Son being baptized, God the Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, and at the same time God the Father speaking from heaven and showing that there is a triune God. God the Spirit is an amazing personality, and he is continually drawing attention to God the Son. Jesus, when he was here on earth and talking about the coming of the Spirit of God, said this, and I read from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the two very prominent persons in the Godhead are God the Father and God the Son. That is why when Paul speaks to the Colossians, as we read at the beginning, when he speaks about the mystery of God, he says both of the Father and of Christ. God is revealed as a triune God, but we particularly need to know about God the Father and God the Son. Toward the end of his sojourn here on earth at his first advent, Jesus prayed to the Father. It's recorded in John 17, and it says this: Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Speaking of Jesus Christ, right at the start of his gospel, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus Christ was and is God, and he became flesh in the incarnation and was a revelation to us of God. John goes on to say this in his first epistle, and it's the second chapter and verses 22 and 23. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." We live as believers in the power of a triune God. We're born again of God the Spirit. We are saved through God the Son. God the Son was sent through God the Father. And as believers, we walk in the power of God the Spirit. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who walk according to God the Spirit. This might seem confusing to you, but this is a simple statement concerning the mystery of God. And God wants us to know about this composite unity. The first step for anyone is to come to know God the Son as their own personal Saviour. It says of him, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name." And John goes on to say, "Those are they who are born of the Spirit, of God the Spirit." May God bless these thoughts to your heart.